Hey, Tacoma, what's up? John Doherty here for Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, always respectfully, ever striving to be fact-based, open to divergent perspectives, and sometimes even optimistic. There's a proposal to build a mega warehouse site in South Tacoma, west of Tacoma Way South and north of 56th Street. This is an interesting tract of land. It's about 180 acres. It's one of the last open spaces within the city limits of Tacoma. It's a Superfund cleanup site, and it's been purchased by a company called Bridge Industries for the purpose of building 2.5 million square feet of warehouse space. This will be one of the largest warehouse complexes in the United States if it's built. On April 14, the Tacoma City planners held a Zoom meeting where representatives of the city, Bridge Industries, the permit seeker, and area residents were able to make public comment. Amongst those commentators was Tim Smith, South Tacoma community activist. So we're going to be talking with Tim today to get his update on what's going on with this warehouse project and what folks can do to be part of the city's decision-making process as to whether this project should go forward or not. We're really pleased to have, once again on Climate Talk, activist Tim Smith. Tim, welcome to Climate Talk.
Thanks, John. Great to be here again.
So, what's new? Let's talk about, just briefly, tell me, give me a little bit of what your interest is, your background in community activism. I'm calling you a South Tacoma community activist. Is that close enough?
That sounds great, John. I'll take it. I've been called lots of worse things. Being a community activist sometimes seems to have gets a negative connotation, and I don't really view it that way. I think that being an activist for where we love and where we live, where we play is vital. And I don't think there's a better example of that than what's been going on with this bridge industrial development that's going on in South Tacoma, as well as the other things that we're doing in South Tacoma to protect the environment and to mitigate climate change. So if that's being an activist, then I'm glad to be called that.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to call you that, too. And I'm 100% with you on this, Tim. I really think that, let's call them the bad actors. They really rely on citizens being docile, non-assertive, and just sitting around waiting for life to happen to them. So I think it's the good news is that does leverage up the strength, the influence of those who do choose to be active. So you made reference to this proposed warehouse from Bridge Industries, warehouse complex, I should say, down in South Tacoma. So give us an overview. This is the 30,000-foot overview. We'll dig into the details here in a bit, but what's basically the proposal there?
Well, the proposal is to take what has been, and it has been, an industrial site for a long time. Previously, it was primarily a railroad yard, where the Northern Pacific Railroad built locomotives and cars and did everything necessary to keep a railroad running. When they went out of business, it closed down. And subsequently to that, we found that it was highly contaminated from all of the industry that was done there. And so it's been rather dormant for the most part of its 260-acre area as part of an EPA Superfund site. And the EPA and Burlington Northern, who's the legacy owner of the property, have been working over the years to clean it up, to mitigate and accommodate for the contamination that is there, to stabilize it. And so it's, for the most part, that has been accomplished. The EPA wants to see this site, and so does the city, come back on the tax rolls in a full measure of its capabilities. And so that's part of this effort. Now, there has been an idea to put sort of warehouse complex in here probably since about 2008 for sure. There was one proposal by Prologis. They also build warehousing complexes. They moved it along a ways, but it never came forth. But it wasn't until last fall that we found out that Bridge Industries had purchased the land. And it was their proposal to build four large warehouse buildings with parking for tractors and trailers in order to put this land back onto the tax rolls. We found out about it in February. So our efforts have been to understand just the scale, the size, and the impact of this facility, as well as its impact in relationship to the climate. I mean, this is going to be a very significant development in a highly impacted residential area, and there's just a lot of questions.
So I do have a couple of questions so far. This will be a little bit granular, but I was unaware that Bridge Industries has already purchased this property. So that's the case. It's purchased already?
Yes, they purchased it. About 150 acres is what they've purchased.
Okay.
So they bought that and went forth with permit applications in accordance with zoning and critical area codes. So we're at the beginning part of the process for them to begin development.
Okay, understood. So just to back up about one quick thing too, we know that whole area was EPA Superfund site because of the pollution you referred to from railroad industry and related. Do you know by any chance who paid for that cleanup? Was that cleanup paid for by industry or was it paid for by the taxpayers?
Well, as the Superfund site has moved along, it's called the South Tacoma Channel. There's sub portions of it, smaller portions are broken out now. One of them is the old Tacoma landfill. And so the city of Tacoma has been responsible for most of the cleanup effort that was done there. There is a specific well from the Tacoma well field. We have 14 wells in South Tacoma. Well 12A, highly contaminated by a petroleum facility that's above it. That was cleaned up by taxpayer dollars. That got on into the EPA's Superfund list, and they paid for that cleanup. Burlington Northern is what's called a responsible party because they owned the land. They're always going to be tied to the land and to the cleanup. They paid for almost all of that. There were a couple of other legacy industries that were responsible, and so whether they were functioning or not, I don't know, but I know that Burlington Northern paid for most of the cleanup in the area where Bridge Industries now owns.
Okay, well, that seems like the way it should be. I know that there have been numerous Superfund sites that the folks that were responsible for the pollution were long gone,
right?
And the taxpayer did have to pick up the tab. And we can talk about this maybe a little later on, but I'm just thinking the same thing about this property. I mean, 20, 30, 40, 50 years downstream from here, when Bridge Industries has lost interest or gone bankrupt or whatever, are as a part of the permitting process, a means to clean up after the fact, because it's fun to talk about a project going in. We're going to do all of these things, but all projects come to an end sooner or later. And a lot of times the folks who did the damage are no longer there to pick up the tab.
Well, this will be, Burlington Northern will always be a legacy agency that's attached to this property. So now will Bridge Industries. They pick up that. There are restrictive covenants that cover almost all of the properties that are the sub-portions of this site, and there's legacies associated with that. So even though if they go out of business, they'll still be tied to it. I guess that's the best only thing I can say. Now, Bridge Industries, they're going to build or develop these warehouses, sell them to other people. So they're just going to be the developer. You might have Amazon come in there. You might have a Costco. Who knows what size warehouses or who's going to own them?
Okay, well, that's new information for me too. I mean, I continue to learn about this project. There's plenty to learn about. So, just to recap, so Bridge Industries is going to build, sell, and then. Okay, so what does that mean about all the stuff that they're saying about, well, this is light industrial and this is how much traffic there's going to be and so on and so forth? I mean, so from what you just told me, it sounds like once this project is complete from Bridge Industries' perspective, they're going to go away. And what obligations do the people that come after them have for what Bridge Industries claimed during the permitting process?
Well, that will all flow out of this ongoing review and update. So there may be, as we had the first like public meeting last night, where we actually heard what Bridge Industries was proposing. We heard that some of the folks from the city discussing the process. And so the people who are going to move into the warehouse, and I believe that it's a pass off. I think Bridge Industries will be selling the warehousing to those corporate. I don't think they're going to run the business, run the buildings. We don't know that for sure. But there, if there's anything that comes out of this mitigation process for the permit, then that the owners will have to follow what it says.
Okay, understood. And that does have a degree of reassurance in it, but I also, there's a little skeptical in the back of my
That was one of the reasons I think that Prologis, the previous developer that wanted to do the very similar kind of project, fell out of, because it was recognized with the traffic impacts and all of the other aspects of it that they were going to have to, you know, build extended turn lanes. They were going to have to put in traffic signals. There was a lot of off-site development that was required for them to get the permit. One of the key things is what we call the north access, and it's part of this plan as well. The primary access point for traffic should be off of State Route 16 down South 35th, and then they're going to punch and make a new road access across Tacoma Power property. That was negotiated. It's supposed to have been built within the last 8 years. It hasn't been built yet, but that was part of the deal that was made with Burlington Northern and Prologis way back when. So very similar things are going to have to happen. And I don't even think that Bridge has looked at that in detail. Most of the projections for traffic and all of that are just based on models for warehouses. And I don't think they really have gone on the ground and looked at what the impact is going to be on many of the secondary streets that are going to feed this place. All of that is still really, really speculative.
Yeah, well, I've got a model in my mind. I mean, I drive Highway 16 probably almost every day, and I actually drive 56th Street several times a week because of a connection I've got down there. And 16 is a mess half the time. Right now, I can't imagine what it's going to be like if there's a feed coming up from a massive warehouse complex to the south into 16. And then that begs the question, what's going to happen where 16 joins 2I-5? Because, I mean, that place is a mess almost 24 hours a day. So, the citizen comments about the traffic, I've got to say, have got to be respected as having real content to them, that we can dump that many more trucks. And by the way, those trucks spewing out small particle pollution, that we can dump all of that into that community. And you drive by the exit going off into Port of Tacoma off I-5 periodically, I imagine. And that place is a 24-hour-a-day mess. And the costs to the community are just amazing, and they're not borne by the industry that's making the profits from doing that. So I'll get off my soapbox here. I mean, that's just my piece on traffic with this deal.
There's another major warehouse being contemplated in South Tacoma as well. So there's the trucks that go to, it's a cold, new cold. It's a cold storage facility. It's located right by the former Tacoma landfill, and that's going forward to get approval, and that's going to increase truck traffic. We already know the increased truck traffic that you have in South Tacoma, like 56th Street, that comes from Pioneer Building Supply and the chemical factory down there, as well as Sutter Metals is going to be expanding. So the synergistic effect of all of the traffic really, you know, always gets looked at separately. But if you live there, like you said, you know the current impact. I think it's also important to understand that this Superfund site isn't devoid of activity, okay? We have 24 on-site businesses as of December of 2021 located in this area, in this relative Superfund site that employs 810 people and generates about $109 million in annual sales revenue. So this site is already being used. There's already stuff going on there. And it is the scale and the environmental impact and the health impact of this new facility that has so many people concerned.
Yep. Well, so in that respect, you made allusion to an online meeting last night. I believe it's being referred to as a town hall meeting or something like that. You gave some testimony, if we can call it that, there. I was on that Zoom for a couple hours until I ran out of steam. So give me your thoughts about how that went last night.
Well, it was a public meeting. It wasn't a public hearing. So there is actually a slight difference in the two things. A public hearing is more official and on the record. And in this case, when the city first was beginning to review this permit, they said, well, this isn't going to be that significant, and we're just going to go on and approve this. If you want to comment, you can. So the local activists in the local community was like, we didn't know about this. No one knew about this. And we asked for an extended period for notification to tell other people. They didn't tell enough people, as well as the neighborhood council requested, they're allowed to do that, requested a public meeting to have this developer come out into a public forum, talk about their plan, and listen to comments. And there's still opportunity for people to make comment about this plan through the 21st of April. So we didn't, initially we only, I think the first cutoff date was March 12th. So we've been able to get it stretched out a little bit so more people can look at this and we get other agencies to pipe in. And that's what we had last night. Last night we had some really interesting things put forward. We heard from the Tacoma Pierce County Health Department, the need to have a health impact assessment. It's something that's usually not done. We've had folks who have discussed critical aspects that the plan does not address, that Bridge Industries has not even considered its impact on the aquifer and the groundwater. There are also disparities in the fact that some of the stuff just doesn't make any sense, John. The city has received a grant from the state of Washington for $387,000, a lot of money, to study the Flat Creek watershed. And this warehouse complex that Bridge is proposing is right in the middle of that study area. The city hasn't even begun to use that grant money, hasn't even begun to use its study, but the purpose of the study is to see how to restore this watershed. And so we don't believe that the Bridge Industries project should go forward until that study has been completed. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to study the watershed and then build a warehouse right on top. I mean, the study is, you're just wasting the study money. We would talk about synergy and fusion, and this whole project throws that all out of whack. The neighborhood council is asking for the groundwater protection district that protects this area, the groundwater and the aquifer, to be reviewed. That's supposed to be reviewed every 10 years or so. Tacoma Power and Water is currently updating the wellhead protection plan. So all of these sort of parallel projects, the synergy that comes from that to include this new grant application and the proposal by the neighborhood council to create and allow for development within this area, but development that is healthy, that is green, that drives a green economy, that's the fusion that can come together. And all of those programs can create a really wonderful part of Tacoma. And this Bridge Industries project is completely out of sync with all of them. And we really want to dissuade and block and defer this warehouse complex until those other mechanisms have been reviewed and put in place.
So one of the things that I'm picking up on here is that the city has been approaching this application from the beginning as sort of like, well, no big deal. This will be an asset to the city, tax base, blah, blah, blah. So who in the city makes that kind of decision? In other words, makes a decision, we're really not going to reach out to the community. We're really not going to have hearings and so on and so forth. Who in the city makes that decision?
Well, permit goes to the city. Unlike most things, it doesn't necessarily didn't go to the planning commission, okay? It doesn't go to the city council. So this is a decision that's made by a part of the planning department, but it's basically made by the director. So there are permits going in every day to the city. And back in 2016, 2017, the city decided to streamline that, to speed it up. They wanted to be open to development in Tacoma. Well, that process, because of how it works, the scale doesn't always get considered. It's just another permit. So those things happen quite rapidly. Sometimes, as so often, the city doesn't, we don't find out about things like this until it does get to the planning or to the planning commission or to the city council when everything's already been put together. We're always opposing something way at the end. And in this case, we caught it at the beginning. So yeah. I think that's really important for people as citizens, as residents. You have to follow so many meetings and so many notices to understand what's happening before the ground gets turned for us.
Yeah, so, well, that's a really good point. And so part of that is that there's a preset formula for how these things happen. It's just like almost like going to court where there are certain cutoff dates and you got to do this by then and so on and so forth. And so if you can't comply with those, then you're swimming upstream the whole time. So, and you know, reference to community activists, those are folks we have to thank for keeping their eye on this stuff. So
real quick, I want to answer your questions. I didn't say it's the director of planning and development services is the person who will make this decision.
Okay.
Now, if they make a decision, then that decision could be, we could file an appeal to that decision. If they still say after all of this, no, it's not significant. There's no need to do a full SEPA. We don't need to do an environmental impact statement. We don't need a health assessment. It's just a building. We're going to do it. It's permitted. It's allowed there. So if they make that kind of a decision, then we have 14 days. We can appeal it to the City of Tacoma Hearing Examiner. And that's a very formal, legalized step that would probably more than likely be the next step for people who don't want this.
Okay, so you use the term SEPA. What's SEPA?
SEPA is, in Washington State, we have a really wonderful SEPA law. SEPA takes the National Environmental Protection Act, the NEPA process, and in Washington State, we take that same process for evaluating the environmental reviews of facilities and construction. And we add to that. We add more features to it. And so whenever a proposal comes forward to the planning department, they take a look at it and say, okay, are there certain things that will trigger the SEPA? Normally, if it's a non-significant project, they don't do a full SEPA review. Maybe you're just building a shed in your backyard or an add-on to your house. Well, that may not need a full environmental impact statement, okay? Because it's not a significant project. But if you're putting in a 42-inch sewage pipe, if you're going to pave over 5,000 square feet of surface, if you're going to build a building over 100 feet, there are all series of triggers that automatically cause the planning department to make the developer do an extended review of the environmental conditions to include an environmental impact statement in the classics. Or in this case, we're asking them to also include a health impact assessment. That is something that's a little bit different. Because of this building's size, because of the amount of traffic, because of the inequity already in the region of South Tacoma, there are things that there's no way that you can mitigate a heart attack. So in South Tacoma, it has the highest level of heart attacks per capita in the city. So this, for example, the same thing when you were talking about diesel exhaust and particulates, highest place in the city. There's no way to mitigate that unless you don't use diesel trucks, you see?
Yeah.
So the SEPA allows you to get that greater visibility for issues that the developer has not addressed. And
okay.
It grows all the time. In fact, here's a perfect example. On one side, we're creating an impervious surface, 2.5 million square feet. It's solid. The water's going to hit it and run off and not get absorbed. We also have this in a hydrologically sensitive area because this is part below this. This is a layer cake aquifer that goes way, way down. And recharge of that aquifer is critical. But when you cap over the surface of this, you're not going to get the same kind of infiltration that we currently have. So there's disparities between what one part of the approval process does and what another part of the approval process does. And they're going to have to get them sorted out. It's just not there.
So just a second on the aquifer, then I want to connect that to climate change issues. So most of the water that the city uses, my understanding is water from rainfall and melting snowpack. And of course, there's a long period in the summertime where that's not so prominent. And at which point we turn more to our wells, which, as you pointed out, are down there pulling water out of that aquifer. So we can expect over time that rainfall patterns and snowpack and so on are going to change because of climate change. So doesn't that impact the importance of that aquifer for the city?
It absolutely does. And the city has recognized that. Right now, the South Tacoma well field is undergoing a major review. A lot of those wells were put in the 20s and 30s. And some of the motors and pumps and things that run them are need replacement. We also need to evaluate the well field so that we can realize we don't want to hurt the aquifer. You know, that you can pump a well and you draw water from the aquifer and then it recharges. And so this Tacoma Water is doing not only an upgrade to the well field and the equipment, but also to the protection areas that exist around each well. We have to make sure that we're not degrading the wells or the capability of the wells to pump by making the surface impervious. About 43% of the whole Flat Creek watershed, and we talk, Flat Creek is the second largest watershed in the city, okay? And the South Tacoma well field sits under that well, that watershed. Most, like you said, most of our water comes from the Green River, and that's fine. But as we have seen with climate change and the reduced snowpack and reduced rainfall, the Western United States will be in another long drought this summer. And we are very fortunate that we have the aquifer. We've not really pushed it as far as we could. We could pull more water out of it than we do, but we've managed pretty well with conservation steps and others so that last summer we didn't have to go very far into our drought protection mechanism. We used that well field. It pumped most of the summer. So we've got to protect it. And once it's gone, it's gone. We already have lost, you know, well 12A is maybe going to come back online soon. There's another well that's contaminated from JBLM. We just don't want to hurt it anymore.
So how does that aquifer get recharged?
Well, the aquifer, this is where we get into, you know, synergy and fusion. It's about 180 square mile recharge area that goes all the way up to the foothill. But the aquifer is not like one thing. It's not just one layer. It's at least three layers. There's a deep aquifer way down at the bottom that actually connects to sea, to the ocean. That's how far down that is. Then there's a second layer above that. And both of these are protected. There's like rock and stone, the two aquifer layers. And then there's an upper aquifer, the lower one, the shallow aquifer is called. And there's no constraints on, there's no protection on it. So it's just basically glacial till and sand, those types of that type of a geological formation. And they are interlaced. We have wells that go to all three levels. So we know enough about the wells and the aquifer that, okay, this is a good time to pull water from the deep aquifer. All right. And the whole system that Tacoma Water uses for that is quite interesting. I'm really glad that reading some of the reports about the upgrades they're going to do, I think they're managing it pretty well. I think this grant that we have to look at the Flat Creek watershed is vital. And when you think about the Flat Creek, if you've ever been to Kubiyashi Park, beautiful space, watching the salmon come up, that's all connected to where we're talking about with this warehouse. The warehouse is at the top end, really, of the Flat Creek watershed.
Understood. So let's get back to the town hall, if I can use that term, meeting last night. So what impact would you expect that meeting could have on this process?
Well, the interesting thing about the process is every comment last night and any comment that's been sent in, and it was probably over 1,500 different comments that have gone in, letters and the emails that have been in, all of that goes to the developer. There's no secrets from them. And they have an opportunity to respond. And they can change their plan, change their permit, do a study, debunk what somebody said, find some way to mitigate heart attacks. I'd love if they come up with something for that. So that can change the scope and the scale of the project for sure. It also creates the conditions for the decision maker. The decision maker can say, yep, I'm listening to what they're saying. And yes, this is a significant project. Therefore, we need to do an environmental impact. Yes, we need to do a health impact assessment. And nothing will be approved until those are completed. So I think what we'll see is that this meeting last night will shape what the developer is doing, as well as shape the appeal that will more than likely happen to the hearing examiner when we get to that point.
So do I understand correctly that the way it is right now, there is not going to be an environmental impact statement?
As it is right now, no, sir, there will not be one.
Yeah. So given that environment down there, that's a pretty amazing thing, I would think.
The city made a determination that the SEPA mitigated determination of non-significance is probable. So they've already right up front saying, well, you know, we're probably not going to require that. A full EIS may or will not be required, but that's all going to be subject to the review and commenting that we've made, that we're making now, both in public and by agencies like Tacoma Pierce County Health Department, Department of Ecology, the EPA. All of those will go into the folder, if you would, for that Director of Planning and Development Services to make a decision.
So if the South Tacoma Neighborhood Council had its way, what would we do with that property?
Well, for me, I'll speak for me. I can't speak for
okay. the council. All right.
But for me, I would love it to be an absolute green zone and with very, very selective industrial activity that is closed cycle, meaning it produces more energy and resources than it consumes. Those are all the types of things that we want to negotiate as we move forward to the green economic zone. What is green economic? What is it? How does that work? What is an acceptable kind of facility? I don't think that anybody is against there being warehousing out there. I mean, some of the ideas of how they will deal with the contaminated soils that remain on the site are to encapsulate them under one of the warehouses. Probably the best thing that could be done. But what does that warehouse do? Does that warehouse have a green roof? Does it have solar panels? Are the parking areas pervious? I just think there needs to be more, the right word is not a protective zoning, because that's what we have. Protective zoning really doesn't work in the city. We need a performance-based zoning standard that says, fine, if you want to build a warehouse, then this warehouse needs to have A, B, C, and D. It has to have all of these things in order to minimize the impact. We just don't have it right now in our code, and we're having to react to a developer as opposed to a developer reacting to our proposal. I think we get there.
So it's clear from some of your comments that the meeting last night could and might maybe even will have an impact on the eventual outcome of this process. So for folks who are listening right now, you mentioned there's an April 21 deadline coming up. So people who are concerned about this project, what can they do at this point?
Well, first they should get smart about it, know what it is, understand what it is. The city of Tacoma has a specific website. It's just for this project. So you can go to that website. Of course, the link doesn't make any sense. I guess I can send you the link.
We'll put that link in our show notes, and people can refer to that directly and just click right through to it.
Right. It tells you everything about the area. You can go look at the documents that are on file, the planning documents, and it gives you the links to submit your comments to Shirley Schultz. She's the person who gets the comments. And that's sschultz@cityoftacoma.org. And you've got to get those comments in by April 21st, 2022. So you've got till next week, about 5:00.
Okay, so that's an opportunity. And I love your comment, get smart. My version of that is do your homework. And because our opinions do matter, and when we express them, they're so much more effective if it's like, okay, this person knows what they're talking about. They're just not somebody with some kind of a rant to deliver. And by the way, what I heard from the meeting last night, there were a lot of what I would call really intelligent, very thoughtful comments. And I was also impressed that folks overwhelmingly were civil and respectful in their conversations, and at least the moderators of the meeting gave that impression also of being civil and listening carefully and thoughtfully. So we're getting close to the end here, Tim. What else have you got to offer before we sign off here for the day?
Well, I just want to thank everybody who has been looking at this. And I think that we are getting the kind of input and logical discussion. We have to understand right on top of it that this neighborhood across the board has been the target of environmental injustice for decades. And it shows in the health assessments and the health analysis of those census areas around here, whether it's birth rates, whether it's childhood illnesses, whether it's particulate matter in the air, whether it's heart conditions. We've got to do better. We cannot just plop a major destructive facility right in an area that's already been impacted that will contribute to more stress, more air pollution, more effects on the same people. Last night they were talking about jobs. They don't know how many jobs they're going to create because they're not even at that point yet. But that's one thing you'll always dangle. Look at all these jobs. Unfortunately, we also know that there's a thought, at least by some of the warehouse union, that some of these facilities will be automated. There will be robots, not people working. So we have to do the right things. We have one last chance. This is a 260-acre piece of property. One last chance to do something good for the climate, good for Tacoma, and good for the people that live there, or build a warehouse. And I just think we can do better. We should be able to do better.
Yep, Tim. Well, we can do better. And I just want to thank you for your activism. And some of the questions I asked you, I was thinking as I asked them, well, you know, this is pretty granular here, but your awareness and your knowledge of what's going on down there is a model for other folks to pay attention to. So reminder again, April 21, we'll put links to how you can comment there, and that, as Tim says, get smart. Thanks so much for being with us again, Tim. And it'll be very interesting to follow the developments over time on this project.
Thank you, John. And as I said last night, when I talked directly Bridge Industries, I talked to them directly. Oftentimes we end up being real hostile. It's like, look, Bridge Industries, are you the bridge to the 19th century? Or are you the bridge to the 21st century? And they can do this. They can make a much better proposal if they think about it and put some of their own dollars forward on it, or not. We'll see. But thank you so much, John, for giving us airtime. Appreciate it. Thanks to Tacoma for listening.
For sure. Take care, Tim.
All right.
So thanks to Tim Smith for updating us on this South Tacoma warehouse project. I should say the proposed warehouse project. Key takeaways for me. There's a window of opportunity for us as citizens of the city to comment on this project. A project that will have multi-decades of impact on our city, on our environment, on our lives, not to mention our children's and our grandchildren's lives. Because of the major and long-term impact of this project, folks are calling for the city to take its time in considering the project, mostly to consider the environmental and climate change impacts that this project will have, not only on residents local to the project, but to all of us in this region. And with impacts going forward for our city, county, and state goals around greenhouse gas emissions for decades. We have until April 21 to make those comments. Remember always that the least effective voice is the voice that's never raised. So this is a time to raise your voice in defense of our environmental future. You can see the show notes at ccltacoma.org with links on what to say and to whom to say it. You can contact me at John, J-O-H-N, at ccltacoma.org for comments on this program or to make suggestions for future programs. The CCL part is for Citizens Climate Lobby. I'm an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby. Check it out. A bunch of good people. Join up or find another organization if you aren't already attached to join your voice with others. This program, along with all other locally produced Radio Tacoma programs, can be found on the KTAH website under programming. So until we talk again, remember always, live like the mountain is out. Take care now.